Good morning, everybody. Hadn't seen you guys in a while. All right, Brother William was not able to make it back today, so I'm going to stand in his stead. And what we're going to do today is something I'm actually, Brother Joe, thank you, Brother Joe, he's actually helping me to record this. We're going to, you remember the series we did on putting on the full armor of God? Okay, we're going to do that. We're going to do a summary of putting on the full armor of God. Because I believe today, especially, we need to know how to do that, right? We need to know how to put on the full armor of God. We need to know how to use the full armor of God. Because the devil is busy. I mean, turn the news on. People killing each other, angry, division, you know, strife. Our country is divided, right side versus left, Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal. You know, it's all these things to divide. But what does the saying go? How does the saying go? Divide and conquer, right? You see, that's what they're doing. The system wants to divide and conquer. But are we as Christians to be involved in all of this? No. What's our commission? Our commission is to go throughout the world and preach and teach the gospel, making disciples of everyone, right? And then we had Ecclesiastes, King Solomon telling us that the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. So let's go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and I apologize because we're going to be going through this a little fast. So, but if I get to a point where I confuse you, please stop me. Okay, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is Ephesians chapter 6. I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay, and then it goes on to say, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Why do you think that the good Lord Almighty would give that first commandment with promise for you to obey your parents? Got to obey the authority, right? That's the first authority we know in the household. Is our parents, our father, our mother. Why? Because if you don't obey the mother and father that you can see, are you going to obey the Father in heaven that you can't see? No. And so it teaches us and conditions us to get to a point where we can actually follow the commandments of God. In verse 3 it says, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Wow, what does that mean? That means that if we obey the commandments of God, within those commandments, we find wisdom, right? And it teaches us how to stay on that straight, narrow path safely. That means that if I don't obey his commands, and guess what? And my parents, starting with my parents, my days on this earth are not going to be long. God will shorten your days on this earth. And that's what happens. We see a lot of young kids die early, don't we? And that disobey their parents and disobeyed authority. And were disobedient, and that rebellious action caused them to lose their lives early. Verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, even though the kids are called by God's law to obey the parents, it doesn't mean that the fathers should take that and abuse that authority, right? So we shouldn't be abusive of that authority. That authority should be in love, just like Jesus Christ, right? He's our authority. He's our king. He's our master. But he does that. He rules us with love. And that's how we rule our kids as well, with love, not provoking them. Servants, it says, and it goes on in verse 5, says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart, as unto the Lord, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Even if you're enslavement, you do what is right, right? You work your best. Why? Because God understood. We know right now when you're at a job, right? We say that. It's like being a slave, right? When you're at a job, you're working for the boss man. Man, he treats me like a slave. Well, that's right. You know, we are indentured in a sense that we do pay. They do pay us, right? We do get paid for our service. But what is that to do? If you are a slave and you behave yourself in a godly, respectful manner, then guess what? God knows that physically, and it's always this, the physical gets you to the spiritual, right? So now in the physical, if I can be obedient to a slave master, will I be obedient to a father, a God that I cannot see? Yes. Okay, again, if I'm a kid, a child, if I'm obedient to my father and my mother, who I can see, am I going to be more prepared to be obedient to the God that I cannot see? Yes. And that's why those fundamental principles are there. And so that's why, even in enslavement, you work not for the master, you work as according to God. When you're at your job, the boss may be a horrible individual, but you still do a good job. You're honest, you're there on time, and you work as if you're working for God, because you are. You're a representation of God, right? Because he knows if you can do the work of God in that condition, right, then you'll be able to do it in a spiritual condition as well. See, it's always the physical and then the spiritual, just like the Old Testament. In order to be clean, they had to wash their hands. They were ceremonially clean, right? The men whacked off the foreskin of their penises, right? Circumcision. Ooh, now I'm clean because I'm circumcised. Okay, that was a ceremonial thing. Ooh, I'm clean because I wash my feet. I wash my hands. Ooh, I'm clean because I don't eat any animals that are unclean. Okay, I don't eat unclean animals according to Mosaic law. But see, when Christ came, he didn't care anything about those physical things. He cared less whether you circumcise your penis, okay? No, circumcise your heart. What does that mean? That means change your heart. You can cut that foreskin off your penis and still be a horrible individual, right? So he's interested in the spiritual, but you have to understand the physical in order to understand the spiritual, and that's what we're seeing here. Okay, so then it goes on, it talks about in verse 7, and we're reading Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7, for those that did not hear the beginning. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 7. It says, what good will doing service as the Lord and not to men, okay? So 8 says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall be received of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Doesn't matter. God's going to look at what we do good, whether you are a king or whether you're a servant. Verse 9 says, and ye masters, now he's going to talk about the masters, the ones that are in control. He says, you masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of person with him. Now, what does that say? That's like, look, master, you need to look in the mirror and understand that even though you're the boss, there's a boss over you. And who's that boss? That boss is Jesus Christ. Okay, he's the one that is the true power. Well, see, as Christians, we should remember that. That it's not the people that empower, it's not the congressmen, it's not the senators, it's not the president, it's not the executive branch, you know, the Supreme Court. They are not the full authority, they're not the high authority. Jesus Christ is. He's the king, right? And when we as his children understand that, we understand that we have the ability to affect change. And that's the important thing. We do have the ability to affect change. How do we do that? A lot of times with prayer, don't we? We can change things. Our brother Fred here is on the list to get a kidney because he has stage 5 kidney disease. All right? So we want to pray for him and we lift him up. Things start happening. Now, most of us, do we have the finances to be able to go and put thousands and thousands of dollars down to make sure our brother's taken care of? I don't. Do you? No, we don't, right? Do you know a judge that you can talk to make things happen? Or do you know the president of the hospital here that you can call and say, hey, Boone Powell, I don't know who it is now, Junior or something, can you help our brother here? He needs a transplant. We don't have that kind of power. Can we commission the president of the United States, hey, Trump, we need a kidney transplant? No, but we can go to a higher authority. That higher authority is God himself, okay, through Christ Jesus. And that's what God's trying to let us understand, that we as his children, there is a higher power. We do have the ability to put on a full armor of God that can help us fight the devil in everything, all the adversities that we have on a daily basis. Verse 10. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's the important thing, to be strong in the Lord. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You see what I mean? So when I first say that I can do all things, no, I can't do all things. But I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And trust me, I've been going through that. And I've said it many a times, I can't do this, I can't. And I wanted to quit, and I wanted to stop, and I said, I'm done, I can't do it, I can't. And I said, oh, Brother Eric, listen to yourself, you keep saying I can't. But the Word of God says, and the Word of God is true, right? It says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And so basically I had to correct myself. Well, the Scriptures corrected me. Basically, the Word of God corrected me. And trust me, I've been able now to do things that I didn't think I could physically do. I didn't have the mindset to do. Going back to IT school and getting my certifications and all that stuff. And so many things are starting to move and change because I started believing that God is a God of his word and that he can do all things. And so we'll go back. Verse 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We talked about that, didn't we, in here, the wiles of the devil. The different ways that the devil gets to us. What are some of the major ways that the devil can get into our minds? Our sight. Looking at what? Looking at TV, television. Who do you think runs those programs? Good God-fearing people? Or putting those programs, have you looked at a television program these days? What kind of stuff do they have on these TV programs today? In the movie. It's not exactly Christian, is it? Okay, it's not exactly wholesome. Well, there's a reason for it. That's on purpose. That's how you destroy a society. So you get evil people in power that own the television, own the music industry, and they control it all, right? And then all of a sudden, we have to be careful because, that's one of the wiles of the devil. That's one of the ways the devil gets to us. He can get to us by what we see. He can get to us by what we hear. He can get to us by the books that we read. He can get to us by the people that we surround ourselves with, even the places that we go, right? Some of the clubs that we go to, some of the bars that we go to, okay? Some of the corners that we hang around, right? All those areas have influence, and the devil's always going to be ready to try to bring us back into the world, so we have to be very careful. And we have to be careful in what we allow to go inside of our ear, what we allow our eyes to see, right? And so we have to be careful about all the people that we surround ourselves with, too, the company that we keep. Verse 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What does that mean, folks? That means that this is not a battle where we're fighting against men, okay? Now, we see right now, it looks like that the United States is in a battle with Islam, right? Radical Islam, I would say. All right, and we look at them going around the world, rounding up Christians, persecuting them, and even killing, okay, people who profess Christianity. So we look at it like, aha, those people are our enemies. But are those people that profess radical Islam our enemies, or is it the spirit behind them that's the real enemy, okay? Because I guarantee you, even in our own household, okay, even in our own house, our own country, there are people that have turned themselves against us, Benedict Arnolds, if you will, people that are supposed to represent us, but they have turned against us, the American people, right? What spirit is behind that person? What spirit is behind that person that puts that nice suit on and that tie, and they get in front of the media, and every time they open their mouth, a lie? See, the Bible tells me that the devil is the father of lies. So if you lie, then you must be the child of the devil. If every time you open your mouth, politicians lying, deceiving, you know, and not representing and not doing the job they're supposed to do because of greed. They're getting their pockets fattened by big corporations and other interests, you know, private interests, when they turn their back on their duties that they swore that on an oath that they would fulfill, and they turn against those oaths, okay, and turn against the American people to fatten their own pockets. So we have enemies within, we have enemies without, but again, who are these people when the Bible tells us we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers of the wicked ones, okay? The devil. The devil has powers. The devil has people that he influences. Do you think there's a such thing as witchcraft today? You think people worship, practice witchcraft? Yeah, they do. Do you think that there are people who are members of the Church of Satan? Yes, there is, okay? There are members of the people who are members of the Church of Satan. Do any of you know about the movement transhumanism? Anybody heard of that? Transhumanism, where they like to do away with humans and replace them with robots, you know, and merge with machines, and they hate everything that's organic, that's everything that God made, and they like to replace it with technology, right, and make be the gods of their own worlds. And so we have transhumanism, with transhumanist people hating humans and looking at humans as a virus, okay, a disease to the planet. So again, the Bible tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That means the human. So then again, it is the spirit behind that person that brings them to that process, right? There are people that have books where they have spells and incantations, and they will come around churches where people assemble and try to worship God, and they will cast spells on them. They will cast spells. I mean, these people are serious. So what it shows is that the people that worship the evil, the dark side, are more in tune to the spiritual realm than we are. There are people that know that there's powers in numbers, numerology, and signs, okay? This is what we're going against, secret organizations, people working in the shadows, okay, the shadows, and doing all of these things, worshiping demigods, sacrificing children still, okay? What do you think Planned Parenthood is all about, all right? Those are people, those are babies being slaughtered, murdered, okay, and you got some evil people behind that. This sacrifice to your gods hasn't stopped. We're a modern society now. You know, America doesn't do that. Oh, we don't. America doesn't do that anymore. We don't torture. We don't go around and create war to snatch their natural resources from other people, sovereign people. Yes. So we're involved in all of these things, but it's a spirit behind it, isn't it? That's what we have to fight against. So, okay, we're poor. We don't have money unless we have a job, right? Or some of us have businesses, but they're small operations. How do we go against these big billionaires, you know, the ones that make trillions, the ones that print their own money, the ones that own the military, right? They own the Congress, the governors, and the mayors, and everything. And it's like, how do you fight a system like that? They're so organized. Evil is so organized. How do we fight it? How did David fight Goliath? Okay, exactly, man. I'm telling you, how did David fight Goliath? I mean, that big, huge monster, I mean, that guy used to kill thousands. Just one guy, big giant, okay? Used to kill thousands. This man was bloodthirsty. And King Saul and all of the Israelites were afraid of this one big giant, okay, Goliath, who came against him. Then you have this little shepherd boy that runs up and says, who is this, are these uncircumcised people, you know, these heathens, these Gentiles, in the face of a mighty God? He had faith, right? Little David had faith, and he didn't have a sword in his hand. He didn't have armor on, physical armor, a physical sword. He ran in there with faith that God would take care of him, and he ran with his little old slingshot and threw that little rock in the head of Goliath. He fell, and then he used Goliath's own sword to cut his head off, right? That's because God is teaching us that regardless of how organized this system is and how strong it thinks it is, God is still in control. And we as his children have the ability to affect change through putting on the full armor of God. because it's not a physical armor. He's not telling you to go get ammunition and all that stuff, right? Fight against the enemies when they come. He's telling us that we need to be armed spiritually, okay? Putting on the full armor of God. So in verse 13, it says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand and in the evil day, and having done all of that, to stand." So when the evil day comes, does it mean the end of the world? You know, we're going to fight the battle of Armageddon and all? No, it's not talking about that. It means whatever happens. When the Islamic people come over here and they start, you know, are declaring war against us and hunting down Christians and doing all these things, are we going to be ready? We have to be ready every day. What if our own government decides Christianity is banned? And in the United States of America, we will no longer allow Christianity. And if you are found caught practicing Christianity, you will be immediately imprisoned and taken to a concentration camp. Could that happen? Yeah, it depends on who's in that White House, right? Okay, that can happen because they turned against Christianity real good in this country, okay? And it has not been a good thing. And so we've seen the Bible taken out of school. We've seen prayer taken out of school. We've seen the Constitution banned from government buildings and things of that nature. And now they don't want you to wear a cross because it's offensive to other people. Christianity is under attack once again. In verse 13, it says, and verse 14, it says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth." Our loins, belt, okay? When you're putting on a uniform, the first thing that holds it up is that belt, right? And the first thing we need to be aware of is truth. And I'm going to go through some of these. Psalms 119, verse 160 says, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." See, that's what we have to stand on. We stand on the fact that the word of God is true. What does that mean? How do I use that? Now that I know that the word of God is true, God, Jesus Christ himself says, "Sanctify them," in John 17, 17, "Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is true." 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth." So we know what truth is, right? And John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except but by me," right? Okay, so we know that Jesus Christ, being the only way, is true. Now, how do I use that? I believe that the God's word is true. I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, okay, to get to salvation is Jesus Christ. How do I use that? Well, if somebody brings to you and says, "Hey, we've had contact with the aliens, and they're going to come down here, and guess what? All the things that we thought we knew about God is wrong. They're going to show us a new way." Are we going to believe it? They say they're going to bring us a new truth. Are we going to believe it? Right. Because that's how you use the armor. So if part of your armor is the breastplate, you know, your loins girded with truth, then you understand, you stand on the fact that the word of God is true. I don't care if you teach scientifically this thing called evolution, okay? And you try to say that if you're intelligent, all right, if you're smart, you're going to believe the scientific explanation of how we got here. No, I'm going to believe creation, okay? Not the theory of evolution, but I'm going to believe the fact of creation. Why? Because thy word is true. Is that my brother, Buckter? Love you too, my brother. Good to see you. Good to see you. Welcome. And so that is how you stand up. That's how you use it. So when we're looking at this, putting on the full armor of God, we understand that it's not a physical armor that we're putting on. We're not putting on a physical belt, right? We're not putting on a physical helmet. We're not holding a physical sword. It's the word of God. But now that we know what it is, how do we use it? And that's the first part we use. Now let's go to righteousness. Ephesians 6:14, it says, "And stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness." Goodness gracious. I only know one that's righteous, and that's Jesus Christ. But I know as a Christian, Now that I am a Christian, I obey the gospel. Guess what? I'm counted as righteous. I'm counted as righteous through Christ Jesus, right? And so in Psalms 173, it says, "Let thy hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for the salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. And let thy righteous, your judgments, that is, help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments," the beautiful commandments of God. And in Romans 3:22, it says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith." Wow, isn't that wonderful that the righteousness of God can be obtained through faith? The faith of what? Jesus Christ. So here we have in Romans 3:22, "Even the righteousness of God himself, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So it says in 24, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." That's how we get that righteousness. So now we understand how we're righteous through Christ Jesus. But how do we use that? We have that information now. We've put that on. But how do we use it? We use it when people tell us that, well, Jesus is not the only way to God. I mean, there's got to be multiple ways to God. Remember I told you Oprah Winfrey teaches that, right? She teaches that there's multiple ways. I mean, some people may call it a different thing, right? But it can't be just one way, but Oprah Winfrey says. But the Word of God says, Jesus says, that's right, it's only one way. I am the way, Jesus Christ said, the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So you repeat that. When somebody else tells you something different, you use the Word of God to fight the wiles of the devil, the ways of the devil. How he can get these false preachers to get up here and get the Word of God and then twist it, take something away, add a little something to it, and then present to you a dangerous cocktail of poison that will definitely kill you spiritually. Yes.
It's funny, but if you read your Bible,
yes.
If you read your Bible, and you are all true Christians,
yes.
You read that Bible, then whether you remember the scripture right now or not, when the time comes,
and when Jesus Christ left, he didn't leave us alone, did he? He left us with a comforter, man. I'm telling you, that Holy Spirit, he told us he was going to give us a gift of the Holy Spirit. What do we think that gift, that Holy Spirit does? Right? It helps us to understand, right? Helps us to recall. Helps me to give lessons. I'm telling you, a lot of times, Eric, that was a good lesson. Eric didn't have anything to do with that. I was talking to Brother Vito about that. He did that. He chose it. I come in here, I have a lesson I worked on, and I'm ready to present that lesson, and I'm like, I left it at home. And then I have to just bring up a lesson right there, and that was great, that was fantastic. Yeah, that was the Holy Spirit. It wasn't me. He was just using me, you know. And so we have to understand the power of the good Lord Almighty, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God himself, the Father. The loins, amen. We have to carry it with us. Yes. Didn't Jesus? Yes, right. We got to have that sword, don't we? That word, that's our sword, that faith, okay? That's that shield, right? We use that shield. And so in Romans, I'm going to look at Romans for the gospel and the peace and the helmet. Romans 10:15. "And how shall they preach except they be sent," right? It says, "As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach and the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Now I'm going to go here in the Word of God. We're in Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm looking at verse 15 when it tells us, "And your feet should be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We talked about the fact that we can protect our feet. How do we protect our feet? We protect it by putting our feet in the right direction, not the direction of going into the world and going to the bar to get some drinks so I can get my relax on or celebrate Cinco de Mayo Day, right? No, I'm going to use my feet to go in that direction to preach and teach the Word of God. Why? Because Ecclesiastes tells me that the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. And one of the commandments that was given to us, the commission that is, the great commission given us by Jesus Christ, is this: go throughout the world and preach and teach the gospel, making disciples of everyone. That's what we're here for, right? That's our purpose. That will keep us safe. That'll keep us from the devil. How many people have been, hey, dude, I got tickets to the Cowboys game on Sunday. You want to go? Okay, going to the Rangers game, got tickets. Going to go see the Mavericks. Going to go see the cars go around the track, you know. There's all kinds of things we could be doing except versus worshiping the Lord, right? Those are wiles of the devil. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my. Oh my goodness. So yeah, that's more important to raise that money, right? We gotta pull that money in. Let's shut the Lord down for a while. We need some money, right? Isn't that something? That is a shame, right? The first duty we have as Christians is to preach and teach the gospel, and they decided to make money instead of doing that. What is telling us about this is putting on this particular armor, the soldier, of course. If you cannot stand, your feet are damaged, you can't fight, right? Guess what? If you're not standing the gospel, you're not going to be able to fight. That's the battle, is gospel, because guess what? If you're going around doing what you're supposed to do, we have all these Gentiles, all these enemies against God, right? You know how many Gentiles, how many enemies of God have heard the gospel, and now they're no longer your enemy? Now they're your brother, your sister in Christ. So if we're out there doing our job, right, all these people that we see as our enemies, there'll be less and less enemies out there when we get the converted and doing our job, right? Let's go make some brothers and sisters so we don't have so many enemies in the world, right? And that's what part of that is about.
Here, check this out. Mm-hmm. I got my own detail business. And me and Mike were working on a car.
Mm-hmm.
We were working on a car. And this lady pops up. I mean, her chest showing. And man, she got the tight jeans.
Yes.
Got it braided real pretty. And man, she was hitting.
Of course.
I mean, she was coming at me tough, too, man.
Yes.
But you know what? I went over there and I picked my buff up, and I went over there and started bumping on the car. And she said, I was listening to gospel music.
Yeah.
And she said, well, who is that? And she was trying to get my attention. And she was studying Princeton. It was about Big Hill. She was studying Princeton and Big Hill. And she said, I sure would like to set out and listen to some gospel music.
That's a detour, right? So we've got detours, we got the gospel. Like again, we talked about the putting the wiles of the devil, right? In verse 11. Yeah. That's what we do. Let's bring up, because isn't that what Jesus Christ did? Isn't that what he did when he was fighting against the devil? Right? What did he use? Did he use a rock? Did he use a gun? Did he use the word of God? Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For brethren, therein, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We understand that faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that's how we get through life. How many times have we been bothered because we go to our knees and we pray to God for something, but we can't see it. We can't see it happening. I'm still broke. I'm still on the streets. I'm still struggling. I'm still fighting addiction. Where are you, God? Okay, in a sense. When we go through trials and tribulations, why do we go through trials and tribulations? James chapter 1, why? Okay? We go through trials and tribulations because as we go through it, it builds our patience. Okay? And then our patience, when we get patience, it gives us perfection. That makes us stronger to where we're not wanting anything. We have to go through stuff. That's why you got to be careful when you pray, God, I need patience. How do you get patience? You got to go through some trials and tribulations to get patience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Of course. Yes. And that's how we fight it. The Word of God, you think about that, you meditate on the Word of God, and that's what gets us through, right? That's what got Jesus Christ through. The helmet in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, the shield, that's what keeps us, the fact that we have faith, faith in God, faith in His commandments, faith in His Word, right? If He says it, resist the devil, and he will flee, okay? Now, if I have faith, and when that woman comes up there, when I'm trying to listen to the gospel music and I'm meditating on God, and then a succubus is sent by Satan, okay, to seduce me, I'm going to remember, right? I'm going to say, I resist you. I see you, Satan. I see what you're doing, right? Resist, and the Word of God, I have faith to know that the Word of God says, resist the devil, and he will flee. Why do you emphasize that? Exactly. It says, resist the devil, and he might flee. There's a strong possibility that he will flee. He will flee. And see, we have to believe that. We have to 100%, without any doubt, believe that Word of God that says, if you, all of us, resist the devil, he will flee, without doubt. And guess what? She will flee, right, brother? Right, Brother Manuel? The succubus will flee. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. We talked about salvation through Jesus Christ, obeying the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, knowing that death, burial, and resurrection is the gospel. The whole Word of God, after we obey that gospel, we're still pups, so we're fed on the Word of God. All of it is important. But I'm telling you, you can be saved by repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ as being the Son of the living God, going to that watery grave of baptism where you get in contact with that blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses you. You come up by the power of the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus Christ. You're resurrected to the newness of life. You have a new name, better than that of sons and daughters. That name is Christian. And God himself adds you to the body of Christ, the church of Christ. And you have the gift of the Holy Spirit indwelling in you and the hope of eternal life in heaven and for the rest of your life. Okay? That's the salvation. And then the helmet of salvation, it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's how we fight. That's how we fight the devil, is the sword of God. Praying, verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we should be praying for ourselves, praying for each other, right? And a little fasting, okay? We have to fast as well. And we understand that Jesus Christ, when he was weak, and after his baptism, right after his baptism, he was led to the wilderness, right? He was thirsty, 40 days without eating, okay? 40 days without drinking. You're tired. Your body is weak. And then the devil comes, right? And he tries to tempt him. How many people are losing their soul right now because of celebrity and fame? They want to be LeBron James, you know. They want to be Tupac or whatever the next big rapper is, all right? They want to be Jay-Z and Beyonce. They want to be Katy Perry. They want to be the Madonna. They want all the fame and glory, and they will sell their souls to do it. And this happens today. Our young kids, we have to really be prayerful of that because they think that's the only way. They idolize it, okay? And so we have to understand, how do we put on the full armor of God? It is knowing the Word of God and knowing that we can fight all the wiles, all the ways of the devil by just sticking to the Word of God and applying it every day. Okay, this is a sort of a condensed version of the study we had, because this is the only day I have to do this. William is not here. So any questions at this point before we conclude? Any questions? Did I confuse anyone? Am I going 100 miles an hour? All right, any comments? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. It's not a bill. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I use that term, body of Christ, because what it is that we get attached to the body. We are part of the body of Christ. We're becoming one with Him. We're joining Him. As He tells us, as He and the Father are one, right, then we, His children, are one with them. And so that's why it's so important. The church is the body, but we are the body of Christ. May God add a blessing in the hearing and the reading of His word. God bless you all.